And I'd say something that is so damn bad, and I think my friend here will agree with me, is the current fires up on the Sunshine Coast. Please welcome to the studio. There's no one else here. Hi, Edie. You're a current rural fire New South Wales Fire Service volunteer. Yes.
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah. So tell me, you flew up to Sunshine Coast a couple of days ago?
Yeah, it was southern Queensland.
Southern Queensland.
So just inland from the Gold Coast.
Okay, yeah. And what did you find out there?
The fires had just started the Thursday before I flew up. It's pretty dry, like the rest of Australia. It's so dry, and that high wind that comes through just pushes any fires along quite quickly. Straight off a plane into a staging area. They're getting intel together. They're getting trucks together. It's a lot to put together at the drop of a hat for a local district, but then as a state government as well, trying to get resources from other states.
Wow. Okay. So you're going up as from New South Wales. Do you know, were there a few that you went up? Were you the only one?
Yeah. So there were 52 from New South Wales, from the Rural Fire Service.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you had everything going off in Tenterfield as well. So northern New South Wales.
Yeah.
So yeah, literally both sides of the border were quite
on fire.
Volatile.
Yeah. So when you're in amongst it, you've got your gear on. Is it scary? Is it quite intense? Obviously the heat's intense, but for you as a firefighter, are you calm or?
Yeah, you have to stay relatively calm.
Yeah.
It really just comes down to what your training has sort of built you up to be able to be prepared for events like this.
Mm-hmm.
Being in new trucks and areas that you're not familiar with as well adds another level of interesting to things.
Yeah.
But it really is just your training that you do leading up to this point. It's the same thing. Fire behaviour is the same no matter what state you're in.
Yeah.
But one thing that you definitely can take away from all of these events is that the locals are just essential. They're just crucial. They've potentially lost a lot of property, livestock, but they're the glue that holds big campaigns like this together for us to come up and do the job that we need to do.
Yeah, sure. So did you once, I mean, your main job up there obviously is to fight the fires. Are you up there to, do you think you can ever completely put them out, or is that obviously a bigger operation, or is it just about trying to keep people safe, like, you know, all of the above?
Yeah, these days, look, depending on the size of the fires, these days it's really focused on community engagement, property protection.
Yep.
As opposed to sort of racing straight up to the front of the fire and trying to put it out. Sometimes they're too big. So, yeah, our biggest priority is just communicating to the communities, keeping them calm, ensuring that they've got a plan in place, or advising them where they can take their families or their livestock, especially being in a sort of country, sort of rural area where we were in South Queensland. The setups that they had at the evacuation centres were amazing. They had kennels for their dogs. They had temporary stables for livestock. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the locals are just amazing. They're just generous. They'll give them the shirt off your back.
So that's not set up from the state. That's just literally the individual going, I'm going to provide some kennel and
yeah. And you usually find that there's people that have set that up that have actually evacuated their own premises, their own properties as well.
Wow.
So it's just everybody coming together. And the state government will provide services feeding for the firefighters, mechanics, servicing, that sort of thing, but also information for the locals as well.
So when you're going out and you're doing a day, what's your day look like? Is it how many hours are you out there, or is it quite different?
It can be very different. Yeah, it's no more than 12 hours.
Still, that's huge. You know, we're based on an 8-hour workday. Your volunteer time is at least a 12-hour shift. That's huge.
And there can be a bit of travel time in there, a lot of driving.
Yep.
But it can be anything. It can be just knocking on doors and having a chat to the locals, mm-hmm. and just advising them what's happening. And that, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot for people that don't know what's happening around them, that aren't necessarily aware, or for people that haven't had a chat to their families about what we should do in the event of something like this. Other times it can be putting in backburns, it can be, straight on to property protection, that sort of thing. So it varies, and I think that's what keeps it interesting and keeps us on our toes.
And how long have you been part of the RFS?
Since 2014.
That's a lot of training, a lot of hours. What kind of drives you to be part of it? Obviously, it sounds what you do. It sounds amazing. So thank you. I'm sure everyone thanks you, but what keeps you going and how did you get involved?
I love doing that sort of stuff. I started doing it when I was at uni in Bathurst. I was volunteering with the SES and we did a lot of fire stuff as well. But that was purely to get to know the area and get to know the locals in a community that I wasn't familiar with. And same thing down at Heathcote in the Shire. My in-laws live down there. And it was a really good way to get to meet the locals, because I spend so much time down there anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you get to see so much stuff. You get to travel around Australia, you get to do a lot of things that you wouldn't do in your normal 9-to-5 or my normal 9-to-5.
Of course.
And that, I find, the learning those new things constantly and like I said, learning to appreciate the local surrounds that you wouldn't normally hang out in.
Yeah, if you like danger and travel, that sounds like this could be you. So this weekend's a big weekend for the RFS. It's Get Ready Weekend, 14th of the Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
What is some advice that you can give? What's sort of the main message that the Rural Fire Service is trying to push across? Or what's some advice you can give to people that might be? I'm not sure if our listeners reach that far, but you could be travelling.
Absolutely.
And everyone needs to be vigilant. So.
Yep.
Yeah, for example, there's talk that was an arson that was started deliberately. What's happened? There's talk of that. No, nothing set in concrete. So what's that like? Be careful with lighters. Is it things like that, or is it more than that?
It can be. Things can start as simply as a cigarette butt sometimes.
Yeah.
And without any intention, that's a common one that we hear about. But this weekend is mainly just having a chat to your families, having a chat to your neighbours, and just sort of thinking about what you would do in the event of a bushfire. Like, do you live on the back of a short grass paddock? Do you live on the back of bushland? Is there a massive park behind your house? That sort of thing. Then you need to think about things like keeping your surrounds or your backyard clear of debris, keeping mm-hmm. your gutters clear, having a chat to your kids or to your family. What would you do if something started like that and, you know, the kids are at school or mum and dad are at work?
Yeah.
Or have you checked in on your elderly neighbour that lives by themselves? Do they have the smartphone access or a radio or at least your phone numbers, that sort of thing. It changes for different families, but we want to make sure that we've got information that can reach to everybody's situation if they live in those areas.
Absolutely. And so it says you can go and meet the firefighters. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Will you be down there?
No, I'm flying out tomorrow back
course.
Up to Northern New South Wales.
Yeah.
But all the brigades are open. You can see the list of brigades on the RFS website.
Yep.
And it's really cool. The kids get to play with the hoses. They get to hang out in the trucks, and they'll have a lot of really
kids and some adults.
Yeah, that's it. But I'll have that crucial information, and it's really easy to follow.
And this might be pointing your toes, is there a way that, how can I, someone here, help with the RFS? What's the best way that I can do to make this situation, which is so sad and tragic for people, as you know, on the front line there.
Mm.
And seriously, incredibly, you guys give up your own time to do this, despite the some benefits. Is there anything I can do, you know, sitting in my office here in Sydney, sort of?
Yeah, if you want to get involved, I mean, you can always email the brigades themselves.
Yep.
Or the fire control centres in each district. Stay on Facebook. If there's a brigade near you, follow them on Facebook. They'll keep you up to date with all the information. But they're also a good sort of way to have a bit of a chat with the representatives from the brigade in the event of a fire. They can say, "Oh, we need toiletries for people that have been displaced. Fantastic. We need pet food for people that are bringing their pets to the evacuation centres, that sort of thing.
Okay. So that's following on Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. I think there's Twitter as well.
Yep.
That's at the rfs.nsw.gov.au website. There's everything you can see there. So if you want to go and see some lovely firefighters that give up their own time to keep us all safe, or just have a play in a truck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jump onto the website. It's this weekend, Get Ready Weekend, 14th to 15th September. Eddie, thank you so much for this time here and also all your time that you give up.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure.